Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance, with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance, neath the cover of October skies.
What's up, what's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and has become an annual tradition here on the Bubba Show. We have the Thinkorswim TD Ameritrade University Challenge. We always have to get our friend, a very good friend, by the way, and somebody who's been with Thinkorswim since almost the beginning, Mary Ryan from Thinkorswim. Welcome aboard.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, it's great to have you on because, you know, you take care of me. You help me with all my high school stuff, and you make sure that the kids all can log in and the teachers can log in and run it. And you have really developed a great program in the educational space, you know, at the university level. Tell us a little bit about the program in general, just what you're doing and kind of the things that you're looking for.
Yeah, absolutely. So I work with nearly 300 universities across the country and partner with people like you. Basically, TD Ameritrade U is a program that allows for professors, teachers to implement the Thinkorswim training application as well as our mobile products within the classroom. And by utilizing the university program, students receive paper money, which are demo accounts. We provide them with live data at no cost. Students are able to trade, create, invest in these mock portfolios. They can trade stocks, equities, ETFs, trade derivatives products such as options, futures, foreign currency. So we work with undergraduate, graduate level, really provide the technology and the support. So what students are learning in the classroom, they can apply that knowledge and those theories right on the Thinkorswim trading application, which real traders use.
And that's true. And it is, it's something you said, very important. It's real traders. And this is real trading. I mean, and of course, when I make a lot of money in my PlayMoney account, they come and get a check from me. No, I'm just kidding. But it is real money, and it is real life aptitude. And Mary, you know, you've been around for a while, and you trade yourself a little bit. And, you know, it's amazing how financially illiterate a lot of people are. And this really helps you get to the next level, understanding how the market actually works, doesn't it?
It does. And you know what's great about the Thinkorswim Challenge is last year was the first year that we did the challenge. And, you know, we weren't sure what to expect. But day one of the challenge, students were trading 55% equity, 45% options. Day two, we saw that flip. Students realized other students were using derivatives products to leverage and hedge their portfolio. And by the fourth week, they were trading 80% derivatives, 20% stocks. And it was really interesting because we didn't intervene. You know, we, you know, we're provided the same educational tools we provide our retail clients, but these students really self-taught themselves derivatives. And the competition last year and again this year is over earnings season. So we really encourage students to research into the different companies that they're going to be investing in their portfolio. Last year, the second and third day, the S&P had some volatility similar to we had a couple of weeks ago. So it'll be interesting if something like that happens again. But the students got a crash course in market swings, volatility, derivatives products, earnings. So it's really educational experience all around.
Yeah, it's great. And of course, and I will predict there we'll see a lot of volatility in this new challenge, because I have a feeling it's going to be an extremely volatile year for the rest of the year with everything that's going on with the Federal Reserve and actually what's going on with the markets, because it seems like we're suddenly seeing a change in the overall markets. But so when you're out educating, and again, I'm a big advocate of educating, because yep, it's so important to understand not only the economic picture, but the workings of how the markets work, what are derivative products. And so what are derivative products? For people who don't understand what a derivative is, what is a derivative product?
So a derivative, it's derived from a stock. No, I'm kidding. A derivative product is for this instance with the Thinkorswim Challenge, we allow students to trade options, puts and calls, which is a contract, but not necessarily an obligation. You know, you can buy the right to purchase a stock or sell a stock in the future at a determined price, which is the strike price. And they're able to utilize these tools similar to how you trade stocks. For example, if you purchase a call to purchase, say, Nike or Apple or some sort of stock of their choosing, and I'm not recommending those, they can purchase a call or a put and make that directional bet. And when that expiration day comes, depending on where the stock is trading, they can choose to, you know, sell or buy the stock or, you know, trade out of that option.
Right. And of course, options can trade just like stocks. You know, you don't have to hold them to expiration. You can sell them anytime you want. And I think the interesting thing is, and one of the things that I love about the Thinkorswim platform itself is it really helps you understand the way that volatility actually changes prices of options. And I think that's another important thing that a lot of people miss out on. What do you think about that?
I do. I think there's a lot of great tools within the technology, theoretical pricing, there's risk profiles, so you can see how different instruments and different trades can affect your current holdings in a portfolio. So it's not only at that time, you know, you don't necessarily have to place that trade or put on another vehicle to see how it play out. There's a lot of tools to help you understand your portfolio and your holdings.
Right. And I think, again, that's one of the great things that I always found, you know, with Thinkorswim. Obviously, I go back to with the founder, and of course, so do you. I think you almost started when they started, did you not?
Nearly. I've been here about 9 years.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously, Tommy, who was the founder, and I used to play golf together in the early 80s. So that's how long I go back. And again, I'm a big believer in your educational platform, and I'm a big believer. And one of the things I want to talk about, because I do want to go over the whole challenge as well, but I want to talk about, you know, you guys, not only are you out educating college students and you know, professors and people, because I think the professors get a lot out of it too, because, you know, a lot of people don't really understand exactly what's going on, and I think it's great for everybody to really learn it. But you guys, as a company, you offer, you know, every day you have some, like, swim lessons and things like that as well, right?
Yep, every single day, 10:30 to 1:30 Central Standard Time in the Thinkorswim trading platform and on our mobile application, we host a show called Swim Lessons. And it's great because as we are talking about the market, our clients can go ahead and follow along with the different tools as we're talking about what's going on in the market right then and there, showing them the different tools on the platform, as well as interacting with them in chat and answering their questions live. Scott Connor, who comes from the educational side of TD Ameritrade, is his background, and he really runs it now. Every day they have a different topic. They replay the shows at night as well as on the weekends, but Scott is one of the best teachers I think that has ever been here at TD Ameritrade. Even in the summer, our summer interns, we make sure they spend in time with Scott because they really truly get a lot of value out of what he has to say and teach.
Yeah, well, and as you, I mean, you are, you know, you've been, how long have you been trading yourself?
I've probably been trading myself about 7 years, but I've been here for about 9.
Right. Well, I know you've been there 9, but so you've been trading 7, and you're managing, and you've learned all about options from, you know, I don't know your background. I know you went to DePaul, I believe, and you know, you're unbelievably bright when it comes to educating people in general, and then you've really developed a great niche into the field of universities and colleges. And I think it's well worth the benefit of any school to use your program, because I believe in Thinkorswim. You know, I always mention on air that it's the one platform that was built by traders for traders. And I think it's really the clearest cut, most user-friendly platform available to a trader. What do you think?
I do, and actually, what's great about it, too, is we have our online learning center where there's the videos, but for the actual university program, we have specific content that we couple with the platform to provide to that demographic, really breaks it down in a digestible format, so we try to provide content and education, because the university program provides technology and then supplemental curriculum. We really leave it to the professor for what's actually taught.
Hold that thought, Mary. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horace. I'm with Mary Ryan. We'll be right back after the break, and we're going to hear all about the challenge. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and I'm hanging out with Mary Ryan from Thinkorswim, TD Ameritrade, TD Ameritrade U. She's here to talk about the Thinkorswim Challenge, okay? And, you know, she said earlier they're in about 600 colleges and universities throughout the nation. They really do a great job at what they're doing. So, Mary, tell us about the contest and some of the content that you were talking about right before we went to break, and I had to cut you off, and how you have some special content just for students.
Sure, absolutely. So I'm going to correct you there for a second. We're in nearly 300 schools. Okay. I hope to be in 600 one day, but we're about 300. But I was just mentioning how we have content specific for the college students that really break down the markets and speaks more towards their language versus their textbooks, or, you know, it's their first time being exposed. So we really break it down to the granular level so that way they can understand what is a stock, what is an equity. But as we're teaching that, how to do it on the Thinkorswim platform. So yes, the Thinkorswim Challenge. It's our second one. We're very excited. Registration has opened, and it will be open until midnight Eastern time on Monday, October 5th. Students can register at thinkorswimchallenge.com. And it's teams of students that are enrolled in the same university, 3 to 4 students enrolled at least part-time, and they participate for 4 weeks from October 12th to November 7th. Each team of students receives a portfolio of over $500,000, and the students can trade stocks and options on the Thinkorswim Challenge watch list. So registration has been going on for about a week. We have over 100 teams that have already initiated the registration process, so we expect it to be much bigger than last year. You know, and not only do students learn, but we have some really great prizes for the students. The first place team takes home $30,000 for their university, and each member of the team wins $3,000 in a funded TD Ameritrade account, as well as a 16 gig Apple iPad 2. Second place, it's $20,000 for the school iPad Mini 3 and $2,000 in a funded account. Third place, it is $10,000 for the university and $100 Amazon gift card and $1,000 in a funded account. We also have great prizes for weekly winners and the most active team as well. So we're really excited.
So I'm really excited too. I'm going to go enroll in college again so I can
be like, what's that movie with Rodney Dangerfield?
That's right. Back to school. I'm going to go back to school because I want to be part of the challenge. No, I think the challenge is great, and I think it really teaches. Because I think one of the biggest things when you talk to investors and you find out that, you know, I think the biggest thing most people lack is the discipline to, you know, how to trade and when to get in, when to get out, and how to really protect profit. And I think that's one of the things you guys work on as well, is just the actual art of trading, because there is actually a skill set, which, again, you've learned over the last 7 years, being in the business for 9, but over the last 7. And I think that's one of the most important things as well, is actually learning this skill set of not getting goofy or worried or illogical when markets do different things, but learning to understand that those things happen and what's the best way to combat things that happen in the market. What do you think?
I agree. I think, you know, using the tools, understanding risk versus reward, probabilities, learning volatility, and then actually learning the technology. But it really is a lot of things. I mean, especially over the course of the last few weeks with volatility, you know, a lot of individuals, I mean, felt the pain for a little bit, but if you understand the risk and the tools that are available, and just kind of understanding what's going on, you know, I think those are the people that came out of the last few weeks okay. Just having that background knowledge and the understanding of what's going on, what certain things, how, you know, things such as China or other countries, how they really affect the U.S. markets as well.
No, I agree 100%, because I think what we forget about And what happens and what really makes markets more volatile is people that become emotional or illogical. And I think that's one of the great tools that you get when you have a platform like Thinkorswim, because it kind of spells it out for you and you know better of instead of getting, you know, too involved and too emotional. And I think that's where this challenge will come into play too, because you know they're trading, it's playing money, but there's an end game here that they've got a chance to win something. So you have to guard it like you're actually trading your own real portfolio for your retirement. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And one of the great things about the competition is we only allow students to allocate 10% of their portfolio to any underlying asset. So that way they're kind of, they're left with the no choice, but they have to diversify their portfolio. We don't want them putting all their eggs in one basket. And so that's where it kind of helps them out as well. They're kind of, they're left but to, you know, explore the different sectors and the different products that are out there.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's, and I think that's so important too, Mary, because when you see people, you know, you put all your eggs in one basket, yeah, if it works, great. But, you know, for every one that works, there's a million people that it doesn't work for. And you end up, you know, in your later in life, you end up wondering what happened to all your money. Whereas if you learn how to diversify out your portfolio from the beginning, again, it goes back to that financial literacy, which is really what you're bringing to the university, is a way for them to communicate to their students a better way to understand the derivative market, because the derivative market is a great market if you understand it. What do you think about that?
Nope, I couldn't agree. I think you said it perfectly. I don't think I could have said it better. I agree with you.
Maybe I'll come to work for you. I'll be your. I'll run around and get schools for you. There you go.
But, yeah, right. Going to all the different college campuses. That's what I'll be doing the next few weeks. But hey, it's not so bad.
You know, listen. You're good at what you do, and I think it really reflects well on TD Ameritrade. It's TDU, right? TD Ameritrade U. Is that what the formal name is?
Yep, TD Ameritrade U.
Right, and I think it really reflects well on the company that you guys actually put out a product like this for people, because, again, it's all about, the game is really about learning what to do. There is no assurances that any one trade is going to be a good or a bad trade, but if you understand, you start to learn the underlying concepts, and you said this earlier, probability, and you understand how to play the probability and take the emotion out. And I think that's one of the great things that you offer through a lot of the teaching that you guys have, the special chapters for students, as well as you have a great platform that makes it much easier for students to understand as well, correct?
Absolutely. And the one thing too, it's working with the college students, especially with like our mobile trader and our Thinkorswim apps, they kind of tend to pick up on things very quickly, much quicker than I know I did when I was learning the technology. And even though, you know, that's only 7 years ago, but some of the tools and things that are available at students' disposal are just not students, you know, just the education. There's more education. There's more content. People are growing up with technology. So it's, you know, they pick it up better and they tend to do better, I feel.
And I agree with you with that. And so as we come towards the end here, Mary, give us the, if somebody's out there, if there's a professor, somebody out there reaching out, wants to get a hold of you, what do they do? How do they get a hold of you?
Yeah, if any professor is interested in learning more about TD Ameritrade U or getting their students signed up for the Thinkorswim Challenge, you can just email me directly at mary@thinkorswim.com, and I'll answer your email. If you're interested in learning more about the program, you can go to tdameritradeu.com. If you're just interested in learning about the Thinkorswim Challenge, you can go to the thinkorswimchallenge.com as well. They each have their own website. But again, I can just be reached directly at mary@thinkorswim.com.
Right. And again, make sure you reach out, because, again, here at the Bubba Show, we believe heavily in education, and we believe heavily in what Mary's doing, and we actually participate with her in a lot of programs. So make sure that you reach out to mary@thinkorswim.com, and she'll be out there glad to help you. Does a great job with the program. Congratulations, Mary. You're doing a wonderful job, and I'm glad you had some time to spend with us today.
Thanks, absolutely. And it's just not for professors and students. If you're a parent out there, we really highly suggest you have your child get involved if they're in the university level.
Absolutely. Mary Ryan, Thinkorswim, thank you so much.
Sure, absolutely. Thank you, Todd.
And that was our friend Mary Ryan from Thinkorswim, TD Ameritrade U. She takes care of everything, and it's really a great program. And for even you high school teachers, parents, principals. The Bubba Show does offer a program for high school kids, financial literacy, very similar to the Thinkorswim, and we use the Thinkorswim platform to go ahead and use to teach and to put that together. And of course, the kids get the same live accounts, and it helps them become more financially literate. And we, of course, here at the Bubba Show believe that is one of the most important things that we can do to help our youth have a better understanding. So just reach out to me. You can check out the website, highschoolinvesting.com. You can email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org. Make sure you check it out. Take a few minutes, and even if it's, you're not involved, bring it to your school, because, again, one of the biggest problems in this country is financial literacy, and that's my job. That's what I was put on this earth for, is to help people understand finances better. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to step out here for a break, and we'll be right back. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you, give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And, you know, as we embark upon our election, of course, it's still 16 months away, but yet we are already spending gazillions of dollars on wasting our time listening to jackass candidates that make no sense. And, of course, we've got the Hillary scandal already. We've got the Donald out there. And, you know, we've got all the bullshit that continues to be a part of American politics. And you would think that all the money that they're pissing away on these elections could probably be used in a better way. And we could probably see better uses. And we could probably have a better election had we not had who can buy the election. I think that's a travesty in its own right. Is it's the guy or the gal with the most money that usually will win. I think that, you know, again, instead of the way we do it now, maybe there needs to be some changes. Have we not noticed what has happened with debt and other problems? And forget about our economy at this stage in time, but even looking, you know, down the road, as you look at student debt, you look at other debt, you look at the shape that we're in, and of course, you cannot possibly be happy with the shape that we're in, because it's just not very good. Now, you know, we can listen to all the things you want, but what I thought I'd do is our friend of the program, Bill Whittle, has some comments on Donald Trump. So let's go hear what Mr. Whittle says about the Donald.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Afterburner. I'm Bill Whittle. Well, He's a widely despised, loud-mouth, narcissistic blowhard that likes nothing better than the sound of his own voice. And despite what he says he believes politically, the truth is he doesn't really believe in anything but himself. He flies around in his big jet with his logo prominently on the side, hobnobbing with his rich, fat cat New York donors. And frankly, look, let's just come out and say it. Despite his obvious gift for self-promotion, he's just not very bright. And the thought of that egomaniac sitting behind the desk of the President of the United States of America just fills people with shame. But enough about Barack Obama. Let's talk about Donald Trump for a moment. You know, a few days after the election of 2012, I gave a speech in which I predicted that the next president would come not from the political class, but rather from the pop culture. And the reason I said that is because in this age of the 3-minute attention span, no one is going to be able to go out and get that easily swayed middle who passionately believes in things they know nothing about, unless they can do two things. One, speak the language of the pop culture, and two, come out with enough media savvy to actually hold people's interests. Now, Barack Obama was a master of that in 2008. It took his election and then his re-election for people to see that skill with a teleprompter does not a leader make. Because, look, love him or hate him, Trump can think on his feet. Anyone who's seen Barack Obama speak extemporaneously knows why. The Secret Service always keeps an agent with a small blowgun and tiny dart tipped with a fast-acting knockout drug just off stage, ready for the moment when Barack Obama looks like he might go off prompter and start to tell us that we've made enough money or that we didn't build our own businesses or whatever else he really believes. Now, Trump puts his foot in his mouth because Trump says what's on his mind, almost as if he doesn't care what people think. Imagine that. Watching Donald Trump shrug off criticisms with a contemptuous wave of the hand, CNN, please. While, on the other hand, Hillary Clinton grimaces through email questions as if she's worried that there's a microphone broadcasting not just what she's saying, but what she's actually thinking as well. Well, it's kind of a study in contrast when it comes to confidence and being comfortable in one's own skin. Look, I said it before, and I mean it. I don't think Donald Trump is a conservative. I don't know what he is. But there is one thing that he doesn't seem to be, and that is afraid. He doesn't seem to be afraid of anything, especially the one thing that every other Republican is terrified of. Namely, Donald Trump doesn't seem to give a damn about what the news media, late-night comedians, or hip-hop artists think about him. That kind of makes him immune, doesn't it, to the paralysis that's enabled the left to destroy this country's very foundations for the past 7 years, because it's the fear of being seen as racist that has prevented any serious checks on Barack Obama's power grabs, or the fear of being part of the so-called war on women that's prevented Hillary Clinton from joining that filmmaker she blamed Benghazi on in the same prison cell that she put him in. If all Donald Trump does, if elected president, is laugh political correctness back to the gulag that it came from, well, then we need to make room on Mount Rushmore. There is, however, one thing that I not only like, but actually love about Donald Trump. I love his hat. I love it. Barack Obama said he wanted to fundamentally change the greatest country in the history of the world. He's largely succeeded. If Trump becomes the Republican nominee, I'll just vote for the hat. And despite his manifest flaws, unlike Barack Obama, Donald Trump knows how to negotiate, and he knows how to run a large organization. He knows what money is, where it comes from, and how to make more of it, rather than redistributing other people's in exchange for their vote. I give him credit for all these things. Plus, the European elites positively despise him, so that's another big benefit right there. Now, could we do better than Donald Trump? We could do much, much, much better than Donald Trump. However, when the alternative, at this point anyway, appears to be an actual mummified communist, a thin-skinned, mean-spirited felon, and a man who could lock himself into his own car, then the sad fact about modern American politics is that we could do much, much, much worse than Donald Trump. How do we know this? Because we're doing much, much, much worse than Donald Trump right now.
And that's our friend Mr. Bill Whittle's commentary on Mr. Trump. And what do you think? Are you a fan? Are you against him? You know, again, it's what I like as well as I like his ability to go ahead and speak his mind. I'm not interested in the typical bullshit that we see in politics. You know, quite frankly, I'm tired of talking and hearing about Hillary. I mean, unfortunately, I have to talk about her almost every time I'm on air. And quite frankly, I know she's, in my opinion, she's not very good. She's done a lot of things that I think are, you know, at least to the edge of the law. And I just don't want to see her running and taking my money. And as Mr. Whittle says, redistributing it to somebody else. I want to see a country that has true growth, that is going to move beyond the past 8 years and move beyond the damage that has been done over the last 20 years and say, you know what? It's time. It's time to fix it. And you know what? If you don't like it, too damn bad. If you don't like it, you know, go somewhere where you like it. You know, go to Greece. You know, go wherever you want. But at this point, we need to make hard decisions. We need to rebuild the American spirit. We need to rebuild America as to the powerhouse that we are. I mean, we are now operating like, for example, the New York Yankees when they were struggling and couldn't win a game. Because we had all the money, we had all the smarts, but we couldn't seem to get past first base. And I think that's where we're at right now, is we can't seem to get past it. We continue to find trouble. We continue to throw bad money after bad money. Okay. And all we end up at the end of the day is in deeper and deeper in the hole, with less and less to look forward to from where we're going to go next. And all I see happening is more people not working, more people not enjoying what life is supposed to be. From my views, life is supposed to be, yes, you go to work and you work hard. Okay, but when you're done working, you take the money that you've made and you go out and you have a good time. You enjoy yourself. You build your family. You build your house. You go on a vacation. You do all the nice things that money does afford you. When you have it, life is not supposed to be working, you know, three jobs trying to put food on your table because the current administration has eliminated all of your jobs. The objective is not to take away from me to give to somebody else. Let that somebody else go out and get their own damn money. Why am I building an entitlement program for people that actually don't need it? Now, again, I have no problem with those who need. I have no problem with taking care of the disabled that cannot fend and work for themselves. I have no problem taking care of the Army veterans that have come back that need help. That I have no problem whatsoever. What I do have a problem with is when I see people that are capable and able-bodied that are taking benefits that should not be going to them. That's what I think is wrong. Those are the issues that I see in this country, which is why I do want to be the president of the United States, because I see it as a way to rebuild and a way to make it good for everyone, because certainly America is the land of opportunity, or at least it used to be. And we need to bring those opportunities back to Americans. Because at the end of the day, that's what we are. And we are one. And I believe it is one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And right now, we are not getting that one nation, nor are we getting the opportunities to move and do the things that we need to do. That's really how I see it. But, you know, again, I'd like to hear your opinion on it. I'd love to hear you. Chime in and say, hey, great, I'm in agreement. No, I'm not in agreement. But in the meantime, check out thebubbashow.org. You will see a bunch of information continuing to be posted up there. You'll be continuing to see articles that are well ahead of the times. But we, at the end of the day, we want to take care of you and keep you ready to go. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to step out here for a break, and we'll be right back. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And, you know, we've seen the ISIS talk, toned down a little bit, but still, we know that it's there. We know that there's issues. We know that there's problems. And why aren't we taking care of them? Why aren't we handling the problems that they create? Why are we not just taking them out of their misery? And instead of keeping us on edge, worried about every single thing that's going on, I want to know why we're not taking them out. That's the way I see it should be done. I see no reason. They have no reason to exist on this planet with their current attitude. I can't take any of this. I don't like the Iran deal. I think that only favors them. I just, there's so many things about it. But again, we're going to go back to our friend Bill Whittle and hear his opinion on how to defeat ISIS. Let's go back to Bill.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Afterburner. I'm Bill Whittle. You know, the chances are excellent that during the time it takes you to watch this video, someone's being beaten to death or gang raped or being executed not only in horrific ways, but simply lined up and shot in the back by Muslim savages known as ISIS. Here's one of their recruiting posters. Notice the brave Islamic warriors on horseback with their scimitars. And front and center, the ISIS signature act, beheading a bound prisoner. Brutally executing a bound captive is rightly considered through every age and culture the nadir of brutality, savagery, and shame. ISIS murderers wear these outrages on their sleeves, constantly inventing new, ever more horrific variations on this ultimate act of bestial inhumanity. A man is set on fire in a cage. Homosexuals are thrown to their death from a four-story building. A group of prisoners are drowned together behind bars. And, of course, the old Islamic standby, a group of young women are stoned to death for refusing to be the sex slaves of these so-called warriors. And, of course, the reactions of the left from feminists who get lathered up over a Rush Limbaugh quote, well, that's just nothing but silence. That's one kind of silence. There's another kind of silence. It's the sound that a predator drone doesn't make as it loiters thousands of feet above these two-legged animals. The Joint Operations Center at CENTCOM, located at MacDill Air Force Base in Tampa, is a pretty quiet place as well. Conversations there are muted and often lighthearted. The room itself is a lot less impressive than the multi-story, blinking-light subterranean cave that Hollywood would make of it if it ever decided to get back into the business of making movies about real good and evil and, parenthetically, decide to come down on the side of good for a change. Because in reality, the Joint Operations Center, the JOC, looks like the sports book at a low-end casino. There's a few large monitors on one wall. There's rows of desks with various workstations. And generally, it's not too different than a modern college classroom with the Florida sun burning a hole in the humidity outside. But the main thing about this room is the kind of people that populate it. It's astonishingly disappointing if you're a Hollywood hack, but spectacularly, almost unbelievably American if you happen to be the kind of American that reveres these people as much as I do. Because unlike the murderers, the rapists, the torturers, and the 7th century barbarian savages that we find ourselves arrayed against in this post-space age, the people at CENTCOM are happy, and they're kind. They joke and laugh and play with their kids, and they're just as normal and decent as the rest of the middle of the country. I hung out with actual active-duty fighter pilots, and I can tell you with 100% certainty that if, in the middle of one of their routine and fully awesome hangar parties, an actual scream came from across the narrow strip of bay outside the hangar, then those warriors would not only not be the cause of it, but they'd tear out of there like bats out of heaven and not stop searching for whoever was in trouble until they were found. Now, back at the JOC, these fathers and housewives and all-around goofballs and jokers open their Tupperware containers and they eat their lunches. And up on the screen, beamed down in real time 24/7, is the God's eye view of these murderers, courtesy of orbiting predator drones and other assets. The imaging station provides the real-time surveillance. It's then passed to targeting that has a very clear and very long list of people who've sawed the heads off of innocent prisoners. Once identified, a small strike task group adjourns to what looks like a very plain, inornate, in-house conference room. And there, an officer wearing general stars on the uniform reviews the situation, weighs the certainty of the identification, looks for potential collateral damage, and when he's sure he's got the first and is free of the second, he gives an order, and on the other side of the continent, another happy warrior pulls a trigger in an air-conditioned room, and a Hellfire missile comes off the rail, consigning yet another prisoner-murdering son of a bitch to the hell he has condemned his own people to right here on earth. Now, you may think this happens once or twice a month. Doing the math on the unclassified numbers of strikes launched in the last year, it comes out to an average of a little less than 20 strikes per day. These knife-wielding Islamic butchers, very brave when standing behind bound prisoners who've been beaten or raped for weeks or months, get blasted into atoms by people who would jump into a freezing river to save a drowning raccoon. 20 strikes a day is a lot of strikes, but there are only 2 missiles on a standard Predator. And once they're off the rails, the cameras stay on station awaiting relief. And then, momentarily powerless, the happy warriors in the CENTCOM jock have to watch the beheadings and the gang rapes and the executions and store those feelings up for when the next round of Hellfire missiles comes on station. You would think that brutal men, children even, hard enough to saw the living heads off of prisoners pleading for their lives, would make the ultimate warriors, ruthless and deadly, and that the soft people, the kind people, the happy warriors, with children and pets who volunteer at churches, they'd be no match for them. You'd be wrong. Because when things get really serious, it's no longer about launching a missile off of the rail of an unmanned flying robot. Then, those same people have to make the same decisions that will send 4 or 10 or 40 or perhaps several hundred other happy warriors into these hell holes. People like them, they're friends in many cases, and generals will tell these happy warriors the odds and the uncertainties and the risks. And then these men will volunteer to do what they have volunteered to do and do better than anyone in the history of the world, which is come down out of the sky and go into the heart of the suck and make these demons pay for walking the earth with actual human beings.
And, you know, obviously a very serious message, and but I think solid. And I think that that is what we have here. And this is why we need to take action. And I'm not talking about CENTCOM. I'm talking about take real action and wipe these rotten pieces of garbage off the earth and put them into a waste management truck and get rid of them. Because at the end, they are planning. You can bet on it. They are planning to wipe us out because they have no regard for human life or for anything. Okay? They believe in a higher power. And they could care less. And believe me, they're sitting there. If they had the power of nuclear, and they may be getting it, that they'd pull the trigger without once thinking about the devastation and damage. Because, again, when you deal with people that have no heart, when you deal with people that have no courage, when you deal with people that are just the feces of the world, this is what you get. And to allow them to even partially operate, to allow them to behead one more person, is a criminal act in its own. And if we're going to continue to allow this, I think it's shame on us, because we are the defender of the America and the world, and we need to step up. Because when you live in America, the best country there is, you have to be able to step up and take care of the problems that the weaker won't. And that's what I see is our time to go in and kick some ass and get rid the world of these garbage men, these pieces of shit that have no use, no purpose to be on this planet. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Keep that in mind as you enjoy time with your family and friends of the garbage that is out there that we refuse to go after. It is something that needs to be done. It needs to be done now and not after it's too late and after we've been striking. Anyways, everybody have a great day. Thank you so much for being here. Always my great pleasure and honor to be a part of your day. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. That'll do it for today. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Have a great day. Thank you so much.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.